This is too loud. Ay, ay, ay. This is Description, episode 69 for July 4th, 2009, with material recorded July 1st, Canada Day. And despite what I'm trying to do, it has been edited.
This is going to be one of those, like, I don't know, Lifetime TV movie, Oxygen Network, vagina monologue, feminist screeds about, I am doing this because he did this to me, but I am a stronger person, and I'm the, you know, I'm not doing that. She said as she walked by the Hooters. Welcome to Description, Valerie in Toronto. Hello, I'm Valerie, and I'm definitely in Toronto. I'm at, right now I'm on BP Nickel Lane. BP Nickel was, is a great Canadian poet from around here. And what I'm walking past right now is Coach House Books, a great Canadian small independent book publisher. And they're Coach House because they have a series of a few coach houses, duh, here, where they publish very cool books. Oh, right, I should remember. Behind me, because I've been notified, reminded about this by a sign on the window, is for me to turn around, because there is on this concrete alley, basically, there's a poem by B.P. Nickel. It says, a lake, a lane, a line, a lone. And it says B.P. Nickel at the bottom. And so this is just the little side street where this is, along with whoever's playing that music. It's Canada Day, up Canada Way. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, there's some kind of a get-together, a party kind of a thing on the side of somebody's, on a deck, beside somebody's house of some kind. And a Toronto Fringe volunteer just ran past me, probably late for something. Today is the first day of Toronto Fringe. I'm not doing a show about Fringe this year. I did one 2 years ago, and please listen to it, because Fringe is awesome. I don't know if I'm actually going to put this show out while Fringe is going on, so I'll probably be late again, and you'll go, oh, I was going to go to Fringe. Why did you tell about it now when it's over? Is it? Sorry. It's Canada Day, and a couple hours ago, I got this idea in my head. That's what a lot of this is going to be about. I got this idea in my head that I was going to walk from Bloor, around where I live north of Bloor, from Bloor to Harbourfront. You've been to Harbourfront in the, me taking the Spadina streetcar thing. But I'm going to walk. I'm planning to walk all the way down to Harbourfront. Now there's stuff going on there today, being Canada Day, and but it's not really about going to see Chad Van Gelen, the Constantines. I'm probably going to end up being late for that, or the fireworks that go off from Ontario Place or whatever, but oh, it's about the journey. I'm at the end of BP Nickel Lane now. Across from me is the Robarts Library, the Jimundus hulking Robarts Library that so intimidated me when I first came here to try to look up stuff about universities. But you remember from Flipping from the A-Side, that episode, I ended up getting my information at a library at St. Catharines. Because here, I couldn't find out a fucking thing. Water, water everywhere. And not a drop to drink. Microfiches everywhere, and not a word to comprehend. There's a wind, isn't there? This means that I'm on St. George now. Well, I'm about to be on St. George. And, well, as you might have gotten hints from the last episode, some stuff has happened to me since the Walter Gretzky Street Hockey Tournament. Excuse me. And so this is kind of experimental, what I'm doing here. I don't even know if I'm going to put this out. But, and I'm going to be talking about stuff that's personal. Although, it's not like I've been entirely impersonal throughout this podcast. I'm running across Harvard right now. To beat the walk, don't walk late. And, but you know, this podcast is usually about other stuff that doesn't have to do directly with me, but has indirectly to do with me. And so stuff about me comes out through that. But I don't really go talking a whole lot about, like, I don't know what, about, I don't know, my feelings and what I've been going through and whatever the fuck. I don't even know if I'm going to be doing that. Well, yeah, I guess I am. That's the idea, I think. So I'm trying some more of that, kind of, because like I said, some stuff has happened and it's been, some of it not good and some of it really super good, and but it's, you know, so I'm going to be doing some of that, I think, as I'm walking to Harborfront. So now I'm at the corner of Beverly and Dundas. You continue down St. George, it hooks just a teeny bit and becomes Beverly. And I'm in part starting here because I'm far enough along. And second off, a few days ago, I was in this conversation where someone who wasn't from here was asking, or maybe, was asking kind of to distinguish the ROM from the AGO, the ROM from the Art Gallery of Ontario, the way they are now. Both of them have had architectural renovations in the past few years. First the ROM, which is near where I live, and the AGO, which is across from where I am right now. And I said, well, the ROM is like Leonard Cohen said, an iceberg that ran into a building, as I've said before. And the AGO, I said, off the top of my head, looks more like a Viking ship. And I said something about that sort of making sense now, because I have learned that I am of some Viking extraction. More on that later. By the way, that bicycle bell, completely unnecessary. Two people have walked bicycles across the street and passed me, and this guy is like ringing his bicycle bell for absolutely no reason whatsoever, and they're not getting back on, there's not more traffic. He's just doing that to be a fucking dick. So, just to give you some context there. And now I'm actually across the street from the actual AGO, from the side. The AGO is across Beverly from me. And so I can see, for the most part, the main, the main showpiece architectural feature of it. And it doesn't look like a Viking boat. It's sort of, I guess you could say, looks like a Viking boat. It looks more like a Zeppelin. And you mean like, no, not like Led Zeppelin. It looks like a Zeppelin, an airship, an old-timey airship. Which, of course, makes you think of the Hindenburg. But that at any moment it's going to explode and someone will say, oh, the humanity. But it looks like a big glass Zeppelin. There's going to be sometime, hopefully before the end of the year, that I show up at this place on a Wednesday night when it's free or cheaper and do a proper show about the Art Gallery of Ontario as it is now. But now is not the time. I'm continuing down Beverly. So, let me think. Well, no, I'm not going to work my way past. All right, I'm getting to it. I'm sorry. had to kind of confront some feelings that I had to have something. I'm walking through Grange Park now, which is a real nice place to be walking through. And so there was this person, and for some reason I still don't get, and I don't think I'm supposed to get, I got along really, really, really well with this person, and we communicated really, really well. And when that happens, sometimes, it's a combination of a bunch of things, but I was attracted to this person, okay? And so for a little bit of time there, we spent a lot of time together, and nothing really happened. By the way, I'm behind the AGO now, and so you have this big blue block wall and this curvy stairwell poking out of it. And to me, to be honest, I know it's supposed to be some sort of artistic statement, but it still looks like, because it's all blue, it looks like it's not done. It looks like it's all blue for construction purposes. And then as I turn right slightly, I have the back of the OCAD, the Ontario College of Art and Design, otherwise known as, to me, that big box on stilts. And I really like the big box on stilts. I've been in it. Did I do that for Doors Open at some point? Well, it was awesome. I like the big box on stilts. But then I don't use it every day, so I don't know how it works on that standpoint. Wasn't that a nice tangent I worked my way around? I'm coming back. So I was attracted to this person, and I didn't really know what to think, because it seemed kind of ridiculous for me to expect anything out of this, for a bunch of different reasons that I'm not going into. But you said you were going to be personal, is it? Yeah, I know, but you know. I'm not going too far into detail on this. This is where my penchant for being obtuse, to use one person's word, and vague, to use another person's word, is going to work well, I think. Anyway, so I had these feelings for this person, and I was very, well, I've been weirder in situations like this, but I was pretty weird, I think. But I was working under these ideas that I have now about how to conduct myself, and I have a much better attitude about this, about this not being really like life and death or the entire definition of myself hinging on this or anything like that. It was just this thing came up, and it was strong, and I was like, why the hell is this happening? I think I might have set myself up, but there it was. Well, if I set myself up, it was unconscious, and that's enough. And anyway, so I was going through this with a really good attitude, in that I wasn't being terribly, I don't know. It wasn't a gimundous, huge teenage girl kind of deal, all right? But by the same token, I went through it with a really crap attitude, because I was so hesitant. I had so much trepidation, because I was like, because of these circumstances that I'm not telling you. And I was like, what shot could I possibly have with this person? I can't possibly have any shot with this person. This is ridiculous. I'm setting myself up, because this situation is insane. Why on earth would I have these feelings in this situation? Because, I mean, look at his situation, and then look at me, for fuck's sake. And, so. To put some context now, if you haven't actually seen me, I don't know. I'm one of those gray area looking people. I don't know. I'm not exactly, well, I'm overweight, but I'm not exactly fat as much as I'm wide. And, so I'm kind of in this, well, no. Other people would say, no, you're not in a gray area. You are definitely overweight. You are definitely fat. But there's some kind of a proportion thing that makes this kind of like, I don't even look like a plus size model. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, so I'm probably overweight by about 10, 20 pounds. Although, I suppose any girl would probably tell you exactly the same thing, no matter how much they weighed. So that doesn't really help you. And I'm not photogenic. I can definitely say that categorically. I don't have a really great sense of my own image, which is why me trying to describe it to you is kind of useless. But I don't know if I could be called cute or pretty or gorgeous or anything like that, typically. Although there have been people who have thought that I was. Thank God for them. So it's kind of difficult to describe, but I can say that I don't believe that I in any way fit into any idea of what this person thinks is attractive. And so we come to the crux of it. Was I already shooting myself in the foot thinking that? Making that assumption. And so I was going through this with that attitude, and I was like, you know, that's stupid, right? Exactly. So I'm like, why do I even continue with this if I was just going to start out by, you know, tying all my limbs behind my back and not giving myself a shot at all, you know? So anyway, you're going to pretty much get the idea where this went. I was pretty much okay. I wasn't being totally freaky and bizarre and pathetic. Although I don't know. That remains open to interpretation. And, but eventually, we got to a point where we kind of had to have that talk. You know. And I'm at Queen Street now. There's the good old 299 Queen Street West. Yeah, I'm trying to teach myself to say that. At Queen and John. I'm doing all right. What are these cops doing walking around here? So, we kind of had to have that talk. And I said something kind of provocative. Well, philosophically provocative, I guess. I'm going to cross Queen Street, Moses and I are away, remember from a few episodes ago. And, and he kind of came down to, like, he said, well, what do you want? Isn't that a fun question? And I was like, well, I was trying to be really zen and going, as that's what kind of got me through this whole thing without being too much like a complete nutcase. But I was like, I had written previously saying, you know, I just want, well, basically whatever I could get. Like, I'm just appreciating whatever this is, and that's awesome. But I'm probably going to want more, even though I tell myself that I'm not supposed to or shouldn't, or that it really doesn't matter, but I'll be honest about it and whatever. Can you hear how convoluted this sounds? Could I have set myself up more? And anyway, so I say, you know, I kind of said it. I thought I had said it. And although I didn't actually say, listen, I'm attracted to you. I want this right now. I wasn't terribly graphic at all about what I could have wanted. But, you know, so I stumbled through that answer. And he said something I've heard before. He said, I don't think I can give you what you want. Which means I guess I was supposed to be more specific, because that response, that line was probably waiting for me. No matter what I had said, I think. Anyway, that just occurred to me. Anyway, so I got that line. And I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, I know, I'm sorry. That was... And so I stumbled through some stuff. And he said... I don't think I have the same enthusiasm for you that you have for me. And I was like, what? That's one of those things that people say in situations like this, where maybe a day later that occurs to you, and you go, wait a minute, what was that? Oh, crap. And that made me think, oh, wait a minute. So it's entirely possible that I was looking pathetic and ridiculous and throwing myself at him, and shit, damn it. And I was also thinking, well, is this more than just, I'm not attracted to you, this is, listen, you're an okay person, but this is all a little too much, even without the whole being attracted thing. I don't know, so I'm not gonna freak myself out about that. So anyway, it was one of those talks that ends in him saying, you know, I still want to be friends. Can we still be friends? And can you like whatever? And I was like, well, yeah, okay, yeah, of course, sure, of course. Because I knew, you know, because I said, you know, I knew the odds were against me. And, I mean, could I have backed into this more? You know? Now, this isn't one of those deals. Oh man, I probably should have said this in the first place. Shit. I should edit this in earlier to say that this isn't gonna be one of those, like, I don't know. One of those Lifetime TV movie, Oxygen Network, vagina monologue, feminist screeds about, I am doing this because he did this to me, but I am a stronger person, and I'm the, you know, I'm not doing that. She said as she walked by the Hooters. No, this isn't about that. This is about me working through my pain and my martyrdom and whatever. No, that's not what this is. This is just a presentation of what the fuck happened. And my issues about, well, questioning my judgment and my instincts and my sense of myself about the business of, well, I continue to question my image as a feminine female. And how I come off, and that continues. But also, I guess more importantly, my instincts with other people, about how I'm doing with other people. And really, should I be even worrying about that? And I wasn't until it got questioned. And I was like, well, wait a minute, if this is how I felt, if this is what I thought this was, whatever this connection was, even if it was platonic, like, what did... And if it's not even a connection on a platonic level that I thought it was, then A, what the fuck was that? And that's not really a question I can answer. And B, what does that do to my judgment if something like this happens again? Or I keep feeling this way? Or how can I trust my feelings? Or whatever. And I, you know, that's something everybody goes through, right? Especially fantastically neurotic people like me. But I'm doing better than I ever have at not making myself suffer any more than I have. I'm good. It's cool. And part of why has to do with the other thing, major, well, way more major thing that happened. And that was what I talked about at the very end of the last episode, where if you hadn't already heard, you were probably like, what? Yeah. To review, the week after the Gretzky, the week between the Gretzky tournament and PAB, I found out about my birth mother, my birth family. The person who gave birth to me at University Hospital in Cleveland on February 22nd, 1968. The family had been looking on and off for more than 15 years. And after some investigation and some emails back and forth and me going to Catholic services and getting that letter given to me, I found out that indeed I am the birth daughter of this person who lives in, who lives in the Maritimes, I'll say that, and who also moved to Canada and became a dual citizen. And I know that's a total fucking freak out. And the other thing that's a total fucking freak out is that her father, birth mother's father, worked with my father, my my dad, you've heard him, worked with my father at the work my dad did all of his life. They worked together for about, I don't know, maybe 20 years or so. And in the meantime, while they were working together, you know, this one guy, his daughter, goes off to a home for unwed mothers in Cleveland and gives birth to me and puts me up for adoption. And then weeks later, my dad, you know, was able, my dad and mom were able to, thanks to the help of a very nice, awesome priest who really appreciated all the work my dad always did at church, fixing things and stuff. He got my mom and dad moved up in the waiting list for adoption to the point where they got me, like months before they would otherwise have gotten somebody if everything had gone through okay. And so these two guys work together. And so, needless to say, my dad is like, oh my God. The other guy in question, essentially my birth grandfather, passed away a few years ago. But the birth grandmother is still alive and living back in Ohio. And so while I was down there and found out, well, first thing I had to do was immediately get home and call this woman in the Maritimes to say, you know, I am your birth daughter. You can stop looking. You guys are done. Can you imagine having to do that? And she said, among other things, you know, this family so appreciated what they considered to be my courage in finding this out and telling them. And I'm like, well, I didn't actually say it like this, but I'm like, are you kidding? This is courage? And I've been considering in the last couple days, I'm like, in one situation, in one situation with that rejection thing, I think I was gutless and lame and half-assed, and I could have done more. And I thought that was a situation that required courage to step up to somebody and go, hey, I'm attracted to you. I want to share whatever I can with you. I'm completely, completely open with you. Let's go do something. That would have taken, that to me, that would have been courage right there. This is like, I don't know. I wasn't thinking about it. Which may be, she said, standing to make the point, which may be the point. Okay, maybe some equivalents can be drawn in the fact that this birth mother thing just came upon me. I mean, it was sudden. It was really sudden. This whole thing turned around in like a span of 3-5 days, all right? Between me not thinking about anything and boom, this happening. So I didn't have time to fuck myself up. When for the other thing, I probably had a year to fuck myself up. I'm walking past the loose moose. They're the ones who are playing the kiss. Although, I don't know if you can technically call this kiss. Yeah, I guess you could. It's all a kiss. I'm on Front Street now. Walking toward Bay. Is it Bay? No, I'm walking toward University. Anyway. So, yeah, I didn't give myself a chance to be scared. I didn't give myself a chance to think that this was a big fucking deal. Although, yeah, I didn't give myself a chance. Yeah, maybe I did. I don't know. It was just automatic for me. Maybe that's what it's got to be. It's just got to be automatic. It's just not thinking about consequences or something. But then add to this, though, that I got really lucky. Because later, you know, when I started telling everybody all this, when I was at home, and I was telling my friend Julie about this. Remember Julie at the farm in Ohio? Got the farm in Pennsylvania. Used to live up here. She was really interested, not just because she's adopted herself. A lot of that kind of thing's coming out of the woodwork, by the way. But also that she's helped other people find their birth parents or help them try to find their birth children. And she's seen some pretty awkward, unpleasant situations, real heartbreaking situations of kids who don't want to be found, of parents who don't want to be found, of people who have expectations about each other and they don't fit. Somebody told me along the way here that this, hang on, starting to go into the tunnel on Bay, right? York, that goes kind of past and under Union Station, and on the right side of me will be the Air Canada Center, where the Raptors play and the Leafs play. Why did I say Raptors first? Oh, that's not right. God damn, it's Canada Day, dickhead. Anyway, what was I thinking? Oh, right. Somebody told me that it's possible. Oh, wait a minute. This is going to be loud. I should probably get into the sneak in here. Yeah, I can sneak in here. This is a hallway connecting some of the GO train stations and Air Canada Center. Anyway, said that that birth parents, whatever, and birth children finding each other and whatever is kind of like a love affair. And as you realize, I don't have a lot of experience about making that comparison. that the early part of a love affair. And you know what? I can make a comparison to that in that around the time this whole rejection thing had happened, or this whole leading up to the rejection thing happened, the most recent boyfriend, who became my best friend, still is, he got together with somebody. And he was so of substantial mixed emotions in telling me. And I said, like, dude, if there was ever a time in my life for you to be able to tell me this happened, it would be now, because my head is so full of all this other stuff that, man, it's just gonna glance off me. So please tell me, because I am really receptive to you telling me this right now. I can so get behind you on this. And even though what's happened has happened, I'm still totally behind him on this. But it's part of why I can make this comparison. The beginning of a love affair, for want of a better term. Pulling the door open for somebody. Because you come upon each other, you have this connection. This connection is acknowledged both ways. And once you get past that ridiculously jimundous hump, you're kind of feeling each other out. Well, you know. But, I mean, you're kind of trying to sense out and guess, you know, how much you should give, how much you should be open to, how much, you know, how much time should you really be spending together right now.
The strangers.
Am I still cool with this person? Is this person still cool with me? I'm kind of making these hesitant first steps toward each other. You're not really sure what you're going to be doing, but it's really fucking exciting, and so you're like, and so you'll do it anyway. And, you know, sometimes, and there's stumbles and total screw-ups, and it may die there on the table, but, you know, there it is. So, me, and this new family of mine, like, I don't know if I mentioned this, while I was home, I did visit my birth grandmother and a birth aunt there, and it was really awesome, and they're really great people, and there's nothing too crazy smothery, and there's nothing too hesitant, and, you know, and I've been back and forth email with the birth mother, and I am like that pretty much. We send emails to each other practically every day, and it's just one thing or another. It's like piecing together histories and what we're like. You know, it's really being pen pals back in the day, you know? And we're kind of checking each other the whole time, going, well, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Is this okay? Is this okay? Are you okay with this? Are you okay with this? You know? And like, when should we see each other? Should we see each other? Are you cool with this? Whatever. Like, we've already, she had already made arrangements before any of this happened to go back to Ohio for a family reunion at the end of August. And so I said, well, I'll just go down there. And she was like, really? And I was like, was that okay? And she's like, no, that's totally okay. Is that okay with you? And I'm like, yeah, it's totally okay. So there's like all of this. And so the whole way along, we've been kind of hesitant but not hesitant about how much we share with each other, you know? So it's a really awesome thing. It's this crazy gift that I've been given. I mean, let alone, I really wish this bus would get the fuck past me. I can't even express how much of a gift that this has been. That just came out of nowhere, you know? And you go, well, that's kind of how it works, isn't it? Well, the other thing kind of came out of nowhere, and it didn't work. Although, there were some great things about it, and I really appreciate that time. It's awesome. But it hasn't continued, and it's not going to continue, or I don't know what. But, I don't know. But these things come out of nowhere anyway. And it kind of connects with the fact that that's what I think my life has been. Being adopted, knowing the circumstances that could have happened, Like, I'll say right off, I am pro-choice. I am totally pro-choice. In part because knowing that choice exists, out of us getting past me, knowing that choice exists and that it's a right makes me appreciate the fragility of life and the fragility of the circumstances surrounding life that much more. That's my thing, okay? But just knowing all of the circumstances, not just her decision whether to have me or not, but all of the circumstances that went into play. She could have gone somewhere else to have me. She didn't have to go to Cleveland. She didn't have to work through Catholic services, even though they grew up Catholic, but she wasn't necessarily a big-time Catholic at the time. She was a hippie. You know, that priest didn't have to help my dad out. He didn't have to. They could have just gone through the normal circumstances and someone else would have gotten me. And maybe that would have been perfectly fine. You're not defined by your circumstances, but how you react to them. So maybe that would have been perfectly fine. But no, I got the circumstances that I got. And they are awesome. And I am so thankful for them. So if my birth mother and I had never talked after me telling her that she had just known, and her being able to say what she wanted to say to me, which was that she had a chance to say goodbye to me, and how much she loved me, and that she took care of herself while I was inside her and everything, and whatever. What I wanted to communicate to her more than anything, if we had never said another word to each other, was how much I appreciated all of those circumstances, and that she was part of those circumstances, and how thankful I have always been, right? So, by the same token, with this other thing that is relatively much smaller, I am so thankful for the time that I had that was good. Even though I question it now about what was that, or was it all in my head, or did I make that up, or whatever. In the end, I don't know, does it matter? There'll be times where my ego will kind of rear up every once in a while, probably, and kind of go, well, yes, it matters. No, whatever. But most of the time, I'm like, you know, whatever happens, happens. And it's fine. So what's been going on in my head is kind of what I said during this, what I said in the blurb for the thing, for the last episode. And that was, during the month of June, I got rejected by somebody in one way. But I got accepted by all these other people in all these other ways. It's just mind-bending. And I gotta say, that ain't a fucking bad record for the course of a month, do you think? I mean, you want a bowl of 300, but bowl of 267 is pretty fucking good, too. So that's where I'm at. I'm at Harborfront. I've just crossed Queens Quay. I'm crossing Queens Quay now. And you can probably hear there's a lot of shit going on. And I didn't stop. I went more than 3 miles without a hesitation. My feet don't hurt. They're probably going to in a second. My feet don't hurt. My back doesn't hurt. Everything's cool. My arm isn't even sore from holding up the goddamn phone I've been pretending to talk into. You know what? I got one more thing. That was a firework. I got one more thing to say. Well, no, I don't. Do I? Yeah, okay. The fuck. You know, that acceptance that I got, that is what I wish for the person who rejected me in that one way. I wish that for him more than anything. Now, I'm not trying to be all, you know, heroic martyr at the end of a Lifetime movie in saying that, okay? But he's a pretty amazing guy. He's been through some shit. Been through some of the shit that I've been through. He's been through other shit. And that would really be nice. Although being a Buddhist, should be wishing that for everybody, even people I don't like. And I still really like him, so I'm not being a total Buddhist and wishing that for him. I should wish that for everybody, and I do wish that for everybody. But I think I really special wish that for him. So, I'm probably gonna wish I cut that part out. But hey, experimenting. So that's the deal. I think I'm done. Thanks for putting up with this. I don't know how this came out. Whatever. The fuck. The email is descriptionto@gmail.com. The blog, in which I'm probably not going to write anything for this episode, I'm going to guess, because I think I've said enough. But who knows? There may be some other useful stuff in there. And then past episodes, too. So, descriptiontoronto.com. The show is hosted by publicbroadcasting.ca. Go there and learn more about this fine, awesome country of ours, including music. The sort of music that I'm walking on my way to, Constantine's and Chad Van Gelder. Oh, I'm at the lake, and it is so beautiful. Well, guys, happy Canada Day, whenever you're listening to this, and take care.